What's happening, everybody? It's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship Podcast. Haven't posted in a while, but this is kind of an emergency solo podcast, if you will. It is the baseball season, and the Dodgers and Nationals play tonight as I tape this. Freaking out a little bit about the Dodgers and Nationals tonight. It's game five, winner take all. Who knows? I looked at MLB.com this morning, and I can't even tell who's going to start for the Dodgers. It's still TBD, and we're less than 10 hours, 9 hours away from the game. So I got nothing in terms of who's going to start. I know that Julio Urias and Rich Hill will probably split some time. The Dodgers have not used Urias this series so far, and so I don't think they'll think twice about putting him out there for four, five, six innings if they have to. Rich Hill is the, you know, number two starter, so he may actually get the ball, but, you know, again, be on a super short leash and see how sharp he is and have to make a decision about that. You know, I wanted to just kind of talk a little bit about what's it like to be a Dodger fan right now? Because it's at the same time super relieving, and it's also pretty frustrating sometimes. It's an even year, and the Giants have lost, and so that part of being a Dodger fan, you know, I'm taking a deep breath, I'm trying to relax, it's all good, because at least the Giants won't win with their even year BS. On the flip side, every time I watch a Dodger game, and I try to think, you know, how would I feel if I was the other team, and I was facing the Dodgers, like, what would I feel like if I was a fan of the Nationals and I was facing the Dodgers? And it just seems like every single play, every single game, I'd be super confident if I was playing the Dodgers for whatever reason. And the Dodgers really haven't given people a reason to think they can be dominant or that there's something magical or special about what they do in the postseason. And maybe this is where that starts. I don't know. Maybe tonight Julio Urias goes, you know, five perfect innings or something crazy, and the Dodgers just blow out the Natties. The Nationals are really good. Can somebody tell me where Daniel Murphy came from last year? Because dude is, every time he comes up, I feel like he's going to get a hit, a big hit, hit a home run. I feel the same way about Bryce Harper, but Bryce Harper is, of course, an MVP. And I, for whatever reason, maybe it's just because I'm a pessimistic fan at heart. I don't know. But when Gonzalez is up, or when, you know, somebody else is up, anybody except Seager, really, I just feel like I'm going to throw up when they're up and they have an opportunity and to make something happen. Maybe Chase Utley and guys like that can rub off on Gonzo and on some of the other Dodger players. Gonzalez went yard in game four and gave the Dodgers a chance to get out ahead. The Dodgers have been ahead in every game in the Nationals series. Seager, of course, hit first inning home runs in games one and two and had a double in game three to put him ahead. You know, Turner had the first inning home run as well in game three. But the Dodgers have had an early lead in every game and just haven't been able to hold on to it in two of them. I wonder if that's something that's sustainable in terms of having a lead like that. I guess you have to have a lead at the end. That's the whole point of the game. So we'll see what happens tonight. Maybe I'll mash this up with a reaction tonight for you guys as well. I want to talk a little bit about not just the Dodgers part of baseball, but the sliding part of baseball, because I've been listening to a lot of people talk about a lot of stuff. I've read a few things when it comes to the slide that Javier Baez was called out on. I think he slid head first and he slid over the base and kind of was making a, well, he wasn't attached to the base. He wasn't touching the base the whole time as he was going. And so the tag was laid down. And I want to talk about a couple of things that I think are really important in baseball and things that get lost in the discussion. You know, the discussion is, oh man, this guy's coming so hard at the base. He's a world-class athlete. He's coming so fast, and kinetic energy forces him to lose contact with the base. And how can we expect somebody to stop on the base? And to me, it's kind of a balance that you have to maintain if you're a base runner. You have to me, so this is obviously where I'm coming from, but to me, you have to judge how far in advance do I need to start my slide. if I start my slide 10 feet before the base versus 5 feet, I'm obviously, well, I might still make it to the base at 10 feet, but when I make it there, I'll be able to keep my foot or my hand on the base. I might make it there more slowly too, right? And so it's an athletic judgment call to me. When you start your slide, the whole point of sliding is to slow down, right? And also to make it harder for you to tag, but I think people forget the slowing down part. That's why you slide, so you slow down enough so that people don't get hurt as well, along with trying to get under the tag or avoid the tag, etc. But the slide itself is meant to slow a base runner down. It's meant to make, you know, to take away some of that kinetic energy, if you will, or I guess move that potential energy of you having sped up and turn it into kinetic energy, however you want to think about it. But the idea is that you're sliding, part of the reason you're sliding is to slow down. And so in order to execute a good slide, players have had to, over the years, judge, is this slide slowing me down by how much? If you look at old time videos of guys sliding, the hook slide, the different slides they did, a lot of them are hardly any of them had this kind of pop-up slide or this kind of oversliding the base, right? When you look at slides from even like the 80s, you see players who are skilled in being able to maintain contact, who are skilled in being able to slow themselves down at exactly the right point to touch the base. And while the players of today are getting to the base faster, I think part of the cost of that is that they're sliding later. That's why you see so many wrist injuries, hand injuries, ankle injuries, whatever. They're sliding later, which means they can't hit the bag and pop right up without, you know, while maintaining. It means that they slide over the base and past the base. And so what happens when Baez slides in is something that's a cost of that. If you've developed sliding in a certain way, that's kind of a cost of that development to me. And maybe I'm missing something, and I know that I'm maybe splitting hairs, but I feel like it's a fundamental of baseball to be able to slide and maintain contact. And as long as that's the rule, then players should, you know, figure that out. I know that sliding over the course of 162 games, if you're sliding, you know, every other day even, you know, the skin on your butt and the skin on your knee are probably just totally gone all year. But you got to know how to do it. You got to practice it. You've heard Vin Scully talk about the sliding pit. And you know, when I'm talking about these old slides, I'm picturing like Jackie Robinson sliding into a base, feet first. And when he slid, he didn't pop right up. He wasn't sitting up. It didn't look super cool. He was kind of laid out fully. And maybe that's not always the best way to slide either. Maybe that's not the most efficient way, but you see the development of the slide over the course of the years. I guess how it's being taught, I don't know if it's even being taught anymore because of the wear and tear that it would get on you. I know when I was a little league, we'd slide on cardboard boxes because those were slicker. So you'd run, you'd slide on the cardboard box and, you know, learn how to do it that way. So, yeah, I'm stressed about the Dodgers tonight. I'm stressed about baseball. Playoff baseball, if you're a baseball fan, is one of the most stressful things that you can go through, I think. You know, being able to watch a game during the regular season, you know, you can just say, screw it, whatever. This is, you know, one of 162. Yeah, I'm a little bit frustrated that I just spent 3 hours watching a game and my team lost. But tonight's winner take all. Tonight's not messing around, you guys. So, you know, go out there, have fun watching the game. The other worst thing about baseball is when you watch the game, like I might go to a restaurant tonight. I'm using air quotes around restaurant, someplace where they serve cold beverages. I might watch the game and there'll be a lot of Giants hats there rooting hard for the Nationals. Because the Giants fans, they love nothing more than for the Dodgers to lose. And I think even more than they like to win, they love the Dodgers to lose. And they've told me that in San Luis Obispo, at Farmer's Market, when they had the Giants trophy, I went down there and I said, what makes you happier, the Dodgers losing or the Giants winning? And a few people said Giants winning, but it was split. There's a lot of Giants fans who would rather not even care about what the Dodgers or what the Giants do, who'd rather the Dodgers lose. So maybe this is the game they'll be watching too. Maybe this is the game they'll be rooting hard for too. I hope their hearts are broken. I hope the Nationals' hearts are broken. I hope that, you know, when all is said and done, it's the Dodgers and Cubs in the NLCS. I think that'd be a really fun series between two of the more progressive franchises in baseball. I think the Dodgers and Cubs are models for other teams in terms of the moves they've made, in terms of how they've used the extensive resources they have. Of course, the Dodgers are priming themselves for the future still, which is kind of weird to say because we're in the middle of an NLDS. But this is what I'm going to tell myself if the Dodgers lose, and maybe it's loser mentality or whatever. But I said at the beginning of this year, the Dodgers, when they signed at the beginning of this year, Scott Kazmir is their big signing, and when they re-signed Chase Utley, and when they didn't go after David Price and others, you know, I said they're not trying to win this year necessarily. This is not their target year. I think in 2 years, if the Dodgers still have not gotten to a World Series, then that will be definitely a huge disappointment in their eyes. But I think they're targeting, honestly, the next 2 years. I think they're targeting next year, which would be 2017 and 2018. Julio Urias, Jose De Leon, Ross Stripling, all these guys, Brock Stewart, all these guys are going to be, you know, a little bit older and actually contributing for a whole season. By 2018, I think you're going to see Cody Bellinger be the Dodgers, you know, everyday first baseman. So there's a young up-and-comer there. You obviously have Seager in the lineup already. Alex Verdugo is a player who's high on lists, who's in the Dodgers system. And there are a number of others who are in the Dodgers system who could come up and provide some kind of big... I guess they could fill big holes, you know, the Dodgers have for older players like Adrian Gonzalez. And then looking forward, you know, the Dodgers will have money coming off the books. Gonzalez's money is one of the first ones I think of when I think of that money. So looking forward, if you're a Dodger fan, there will be many millions to spend. A lot of that will go towards Clayton Kershaw. Yeah, I hope and pray. But you'll have money to spend on other players too, and with a young, good core group, like you need to look no farther than the Cubs. With a young, good core group, you can then go out and sign a Jason Hayward, right? When you have that, you can sign a John Lester, if you have a young core who is relatively cost controlled. Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber, who of course got hurt, Anthony Rizzo. Et cetera, the list goes on. So, you know, look for the Dodgers to try to emulate the Cubs. I think the Dodgers could have a Cubs-like season in the next two seasons. You know, I think that's on the table, and I have really high expectations for the future. For now, for tonight, I have expectations of having a great time watching the game. I hope that Urias gets to pitch serious innings. I really want to see how electric that kid can be on the road, because he's super calm and cool and collected. He manages his emotions well, or has when I've watched him. And so I'm interested to see what a playoff atmosphere does for him and what kind of experience that can give him. Also interested to see how Rich Hill can kind of harness some of the ostentatious, antics, I guess, on the road. He was as pumped up as anybody, but I don't know if that helped him. I know he gave up that Lobatone home run in game two that was no bueno, but we'll see how that goes, and see if the Dodgers can put it away tonight. See if they have some clutchiness gene, little grit or whatever you want to call it, to get them through a one game scenario. Win or go home. Let's see how we do tonight.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. The people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. the front page of the news. Keep trying to find my way back home, but the sun's out.